Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the last chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side, Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And he went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people in that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. which was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we come to the end of another book. We come to the end of the life of another great man. So when we came to the end of Deuteronomy, we saw the death of Moses. And I don't know about you, but it's a sad time to come to those endings of such men that are great and used by God to such an extent as that, Moses and here Joshua, especially when we know what's coming. Because what we have in the book of Judges is, kind of a slow motion train wreck coming after those faithful leaders pass away. So what does Joshua do here in verses 1 through 14 in the very beginning of the chapter? I have in my notes context, context, context. What is Joshua doing? He is putting the people of God in their historical context so that they might remember who they are and what God has done for them, that they might continue with him. And so he begins, he stretches their memories all the way back to when Terah was the father of Abraham. And at that time he was known as Abram in the land of Ur. Joshua characterizes it here on the other side of the flood, the flood there being the Jordan River. And there may be a reference to the river Euphrates, but most scholars are agreed that we're just talking about Jordan. But it may be that he's talking about all the way past the Euphrates River in Ur. But remember that when they stopped, that they stopped along the way, and that would have been between Euphrates and Jordan. So he takes them back to that time. Then he brings them up to the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the separation of Jacob and Esau going to Seir, and Jacob and his descendants, those 70, going down to Egypt, and then coming back from Egypt with Moses and Aaron, and now, after having wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and the death of Moses, now in Joshua they have come into the land, and they have received not only the land of Canaan, but also the land of Gilead, and where Og and Sihon have had their reigns in time past, and the Lord has subdued all of their enemies before them, and he's put them in this historical context that they might remember who they are. It's good to remember things. It's good to remember the past blessings of God. It's good to remember what God has done for us, that it would give us courage and encouragement for the future. We are not the inheritors of a defeated kingdom. We are not the inheritors of a kingdom that is on its last gasp. We are the inheritors of the king, of the kingdom of a king that sits on Mount Zion, to whom all of the kings of the earth will eventually bow. Joshua is reminding them so that they might remain on the quote unquote, and this is a very common phrase today, often misused, but we know what we mean when we say it here, that they might end up on the right side of history here. On the right side. You see, the question is not whether or not God is on my side, but whether or not we're on His. And this is the context that Joshua provides for them here at the beginning of the chapter. And he's going to put them in that context because he is going to encourage them to continue in that way of blessing. So then in verses 15 through 28, the section points to the antithetical nature of fearing the Lord and serving Him. It is a life separate from the gods of the age. He says, turn from those gods. Put away those strange gods and serve the Lord. He says, make your decision, make your choice, but stop halting between two opinions. Like Elijah told the people on Mount Carmel, how long will you halt between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, then serve Him. Don't be like those religious leaders in the book of Zephaniah chapter 1 who got up in the morning and went to Baal temple to worship and then in the afternoon went over to Yahweh's place. And so Joshua tells them his own commitment and the commitment of his house, and note that Joshua speaks for his house here. Fathers, are you speaking for your house? As for me and my house, Joshua says, we'll serve Yahweh. No excuses. No, well, I couldn't get my kids to come along. No, well, I felt some opposition from my wife. No. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are the kinds of fathers we need today that will stand and will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are the kind of fathers we need in those extended relationships of fatherhood, such as those who rule in other spheres as well. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for those under my purview, we will serve the Lord. As for those whom the Lord has given me to care for, to caring and in caring rightly for their bodies and souls, we will serve the Lord. And so there is a great responsibility placed on those in authority rightly to use that authority for the Lord's sake, because He is the King of Kings. And isn't that what we've just recently read in Psalm 2? So, notice the people in their response. They respond with a covenant. Now, Joshua makes that covenant formal, but that covenant has already gone forth out of their lips. They say what? Oh, no, 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 no. We're not going to serve those gods. We're going to serve the Lord our God because He's the one that brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And what are they doing? They are recounting the Ten Commandments and the covenant made that day with Moses. That's the covenant we're keeping here, Joshua. Remember Psalm 50. Psalm 50 speaks to the children of Israel and says, now to the wicked man, God says this, how dare you take my covenant in your mouth because you hate instruction. Well, there are many that take the covenant in their mouth hypocritically, with crossed fingers. Notice what is being said here. Joshua says, either serve those gods or serve Yahweh. As for me and my house, we'll serve Yahweh. And they say, us too. And we have no reason to doubt the strength of their commitment, the sincerity of their covenant making here. It does say that Joshua made that covenant with the people, but the covenant has already gone forth out of their mouths. And so, these people here that stand with Joshua just before his death, they covenant to be the Lord's. Well, this is what we do when we take the vows of church membership. We covenant to be the Lord's. We call Him our God. We call His commandments our commandments. We say that He is the one who has brought us out of the land of Egypt. And so once again, Joshua tells them, put away the strange gods out of the land. Three times to them in this covenanting passage, Joshua tells them to put away the strange gods. You would think that in a covenanting passage like this, you wouldn't have to say that. He's telling them to put away the idols, not only the figurines, but the idols of their hearts. And that's why he says, incline your heart to the Lord your God. So like Moses before him then, so now here there are words written in the book of the covenant of the Lord and kept as a memorial before the Lord. And such are the covenant vows of church membership today, to be the Lord's people, to worship Him alone, and that when He calls, to set our mind, will, and affections upon Him as our chief and highest good. And then Joshua has a stone set up, a large stone, underneath an oak tree at a place nearer to where the temple was, or the tabernacle was in that day. And I think we could knit together a few implications from that. That the people would be coming to that tabernacle to worship the Lord. That when they came, they would see the stone. When they saw the stone, they would remember their commitments. That they set up a monument to that covenant that they had taken that day. And Joshua said, "This stone shall be a remembrancer, a witness for all the words that we have said this day." And so there is indeed a hearty use, not only of remembering where they have come from, but what they have done today. You see how much the memory plays in to what Joshua is doing here in chapter 24. All right, so then we come to 29 through 33. The end of the passage, the end of the chapter, the end of the book. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Can you just hear the witness of Joshua here, like we said last hour? O Lord, do not let my strength fail until I have showed thy faith to the generation coming. Let me hang on long enough to confirm them unto thee. One last covenanting ceremony, Father, please. One parting shot. Who knows? Perhaps thou wilt be pleased to use such a covenant in days to come. And so Joshua wrote all the words and laid them up in the book. And then we read, notice that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. And this is in keeping with our next sermon that's coming up here in a moment. So let me say it this way. When Joshua dies, and the elders that outlived Joshua of that generation died, what are we left with in the book of Judges? Notice the faithfulness of the people as long as they had solid and godly leadership. And then notice that after that leadership died, that, quote, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. End quote. And what a sad and running commentary that comes to be, especially upon the latter part of the book of Judges, as they put more and more time between the death of Joshua and the elders and themselves. They put more and more wickedness in place, do they not? Then there's this really comforting portion here at the end of the book, and you have to smile when you read of it. Maybe smile with a glint in your eye. The bones of Joseph, they finally come home. Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery, who spent the bulk of his life in Egypt, always rising to the top because of his honesty and godliness, when he died, told the children of Israel, when I die, bring my bones home to Canaan. I know the Lord will visit you and He will take us home. And when He does, don't leave my bones here in Egypt. This is not where I belong. My father, like your father, is Abraham. That land that God promised to him and to you is promised to me as well. I belong there. And in verse 32, we read that Joseph made it home. Then they buried him in Mount Ephraim. And another great, stalwart, faithful man, Phinehas, Eleazar, was also buried there. And so we have, as it were, at the close of Joshua here, this faithful cloud of witnesses all being drawn together and brought home. Notice how this puts a wonderful ribbon, a bow, a chapter, if you will, at the top of the story of God's faithfulness. Joshua, Caleb, Joseph, Eleazar, Phinehas, all brought home, all brought to where they belong, now free from the Canaanites and all potential molestation, safely home. That's how the book of Joshua ends. And then the book of Judges begins. Next week for that. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.